Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, what a busy week with the State of the Union and Ukraine. How are things looking from your perspective?
Well, the State of the Union, I look to Biden supporters to get the sense about what they thought. So NBC's Chuck Todd says, I think we all expected a little bit more. The Atlantic's Pete Werner said, this is a wounded presidency. Fox News' Brett Baer said, Biden has very low approval ratings now on every major issue he talked about in the speech. Illegal immigration surge at the border, inflation at a 40-year high, surging crime in big cities, energy costs on the rise. NBC News' Andre Mitchell said, there was a strange moment at the end where he said, go get him. We're not quite sure what he meant. CNN contributor Scott Jennings says, this presidency needs a pivot. Let's be honest. Fox News, Dana Perino says, uninspired, almost as if they had a speech, it fell on the floor, all the pages got shuffled around, and they just put it back together, and they didn't actually reorder it. I don't think they did anything for the independents or suburban moms. NBC's Richard Engel says, the problem is, you don't hear a great deal of new information on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Fox News' Charles Payne says, Biden's oil reserve announcements backfired big time. It goes beyond being a gimmick. All of those quotes, but then if you look, Monica Crowley says Biden's economic failures are going to get worse if the situation is not brought under control. Again, Fox News' Daniel Turner said the American people are suffering because of oil prices and Putin is getting rich off of them. So this idea that Biden keeps pushing buy American, it applies to everything except American oil. So we're making Putin rich. He's going to be fighting the wars with him. So nothing made sense in the entire speech. Even his supporters say that it didn't make sense. So that's what we have, a wounded presidency, and he doesn't seem to be able to do anything about it. Now, I will tell you that one of the things that I'm hearing is that Biden is going to put sanctions on Russia, or maybe already has put sanctions on them. Sanctions take a while to work out. Sanctions should have been applied day one of his presidency, and that would have given a year for the Russian people to be suffering under the sanctions. They would bring internal pressure against him. But instead, now then, at the moment where he sees military action from Putin, he has not done anything previously. That only leaves military response. Once you get a military action, then sanctions are going to play out very slow. He will have taken over Ukraine by the time that the sanctions apply. He will have accomplished what he wanted to. And so again, he's working against the weakness of Joe Biden and Joe Biden's lack of understanding of military force and literally diplomatic policies and sanctions. And so this presidency doesn't understand geopolitical situations as well as doesn't understand the basics of economics or border control, any of the other factors that face us as a country. Now, I think that maybe all of us have felt like one of the more significant moments we've seen in that Ukrainian conflict is the farmer on the tractor towing the tank back to his farm. He's going to put it there and use it. I guess the Russian soldiers had just walked away from it. So that was interesting. But you know, another thing came out that hit the Twitter feed. People in Ukraine are having to experience a lot of people leaving their homes. And so now then you have people just walking in and breaking in and taking everything in the homes. So local people in the country are taking those looters when they find them and they're tying them up to poles with the wrap that you put on luggage when it travels. And it wrapped several times. They're immovable. One guy was taped up against his pole when they had pulled his pants down to his knees and taped him in plastic. So the Ukrainian people are really fighting back. I've seen much more hostile action toward the Russians than I think the Russians ever expected. Much of it is in the form of militia actions. But, you know, the U.S. and NATO are funding and feeding those militias, those insurgents. And so the Ukraine situation, I don't think, is working out quite as easy as maybe Putin had wanted it to. He thought he could just waltz through there. Under President Obama, the only aid that Ukraine got was flash blindness goggles and blankets. So this time, the military is sending the insurgents much more, especially the NATO allies are sending the insurgents much more military hardware. So there's got a lot of things that I think are playing out differently than what they expected.
Could we have a situation like Afghanistan, though, where we're sending them this high-tech equipment to fight the Russians with? The Russians come in and take Ukraine and get all that stuff that we and Western Europe sent.
Yeah, that's a possibility with Joe Biden in the presidency. You would hope that the Ukrainians are a little bit more organized than Afghanistan. What failed in Afghanistan was the government leadership. They were not able to convince people that they needed to fight for their own freedom. I'm seeing a little bit different thing coming out of Ukraine, that people are willing to fight for their freedom, fight to keep out from underneath the control of the Russians. And so I think it's playing out quite a bit differently there. But even if something happens, there will not be $85 billion worth of armaments. We're not sending helicopters. We're not sending the 50 caliber sniper rifles. We are sending small arms and things that insurgents can fight with. The major military hardware will not be there. Another thing that he was criticized about is that not once during the speech did they mention Black Americans or any of the similar words, African Americans. And so it looks like the entire Black community was simply ignored. Democrats normally will give lip service to the Black community, but they really don't always do something about it. He didn't mention reparations or any of those hot button issues. And so that was a curious element of the speech, that he ignored one of the major constituencies of the Democrat Party. I think that his speechwriters are just overwhelmed with the negative opinions that are coming in. He continues to languish in the polls at the lowest level that he's ever been at. And I think that the entire staff is in some disarray. We've seen that in Vice President Kamala Harris's office, that the open reports now on the internet are that the total office is in disarray. People are quitting because they don't feel like there's any direction, no capability. She is not able to bring any gravitas to the situation. So all in all, the American people are suffering because this administration is in over its head and their advisors have no clue how to solve the problems. So, Derek, one of the things that we had last weekend was our state convention, and we had just a tremendous group of speakers. You're going to hear from Jewel Padrell. He's a member of our executive committee. You're going to hear from the three candidates who made the ballot at convention. You will hear from Greg Zanetti, from Rebecca Dow, and also from Jay Block. They were the three who got onto the ballot at convention. There were five candidates for lieutenant governor, and only one came through. Ant Thornton got over 400 votes. He got almost 80% of the votes cast. That's unprecedented, and it really started a social media tidal wave, really, because people were talking about New Mexico Republicans electing the first Black Republican who will appear on the ballot for lieutenant governor in New Mexico. And so that set the whole social media world of Twitter. And well, it should, because Ant Thornton is not selected because of his race. He is extremely qualified. He's a PhD scientist, like he says, a rocket scientist. He is well-spoken. His speeches are good. His thoughts are clear. He's active in his church and his faith. And so he's a package that really is attractive to Republicans and I think Democrats alike in New Mexico. So already big steps being taken at our convention.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. On Saturday, February 26th, the Republican Party of New Mexico had their pre-primary state convention in Ruidoso. Nearly 1,000 Republicans from around the state took part in the convention, and we're going to let you hear some of the speeches from the candidates who were nominated for governor. Sandoval County Commissioner Jay Block received the most votes with 199 or 29%. Here's what he had to say.
Fellow patriots, it's an honor to be here. However, today, Marxism and intolerance are on the move around the world and here at home. Our freedoms and way of life are at stake today more than ever before. We will not stay silent ever again, and we will not surrender our freedoms. Now is the time to stand up as Americans for those God-given freedoms and our beautiful Constitution. You know we are at war, and I know what war is. because I've experienced war in Afghanistan. And to win our war, we must defeat the crotch-grabbing evil witch of Santa Fe who stole our freedoms. In the first 7 minutes after I'm sworn in as your governor, I will return your freedom by signing executive orders. I will ban the radical climate change agenda like the 30-30 government land grab. I will ban critical race theory in our schools and ensure boys compete with boys and girls compete with girls in school sports. I will ban forced vaccines and vaccine passports. I will immediately deploy our National Guard warriors to secure our border and create a border security agency to stop the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking, the human trafficking, and the drugs that are coming into our state and country and killing families. We must finish the wall. But I owe you, the people of New Mexico, much more. I will veto any budget that comes to my desk that has one dime of taxpayer money to fund abortions in the state of New Mexico. I will reimburse every person, church, and business fined under the governor's tyrannical mandates, which she herself violated numerous times. I will never shut down your school, church, or business. And I will never lock you out of your roundhouse. I will submit a bill immediately for election integrity in the state of New Mexico. We will enact policies that attract businesses, cut regulations, stop taxing our seniors and veterans, reduce crime, support our law enforcement, reform our educational system, revitalize our rural communities, protect our ranchers, farmers, and oil and gas workers. In order to get that done, you need someone battle-tested experience. As a retired lieutenant colonel entrusted with the nation's nuclear codes and a combat veteran, I know how to fight and win. I've been battle-tested as a county commissioner, passing right to work, Second Amendment sanctuary county, and also passed a 30-30 land grab the governor signed. I will fight for the people because I am one of you. I grew up in poverty. My mother was an alcoholic drug addict. My father and mother were arrested for drugs. I understand what New Mexicans are going through. I ask you to come together. We must defeat our governor. God bless you. God bless the great state of New Mexico. God bless the United States of America.
Rebecca Dow was close behind Jay Block with 28% or 192 votes.
This is not the time for empty promises and platitudes. Our state and our nation is at risk of losing its identity. And now is the time for this generation to step up and save New Mexico before it's lost forever. If you are looking for a proven conservative leader who wins in the battle fights of nasty political agendas, time and again, in a Democrat seat, and I win big, then I'm your candidate for governor. If you're looking for a contender who's been leading the fight against MLG and her radical agenda, then I'm your candidate for governor. Just last week, I joined my colleagues in the House, 28 hours straight of debate, to kill a 164-page bill that was fraught with voter fraud. Even in the minority, when we're united, we're gonna win. We New Mexicans are smart and we're resilient. Our land is beautiful and it's bountiful with natural resources. There is no reason for us not to be at the top of our peers. My plan for New Mexico is simple. We must protect our divinely inspired Constitution. Our rights, including life, liberty, the Second Amendment, small government is the best government. I will lead in job creation and energy production, open Escalante, save San Juan, celebrate oil and gas, and correct the flawed methane rules. I will foster a pro-jobs environment. And we're gonna do that by cutting the regulatory code, kicking out the trial lawyers, and making a tax code that's fair for everyone. As for critical race theory, it's racism. I oppose it, and we're gonna ban it. The woke culture has no place in our schools. Our students are getting abortions and changing their gender without parental consent. That's sick, and it's gonna stop. teachers teach. It's time for local decision-making authority and for real school choice. Now, CYFD has to be reformed, if not abolished. It's time to protect our vulnerable children. My solution for lowering crime and for securing the border is simple. Do we defund the police? Heck no. Do we secure the border? Absolutely yes. And I was the first candidate to pledge to redeploy the National Guard. We're going to back up our law enforcement officers. Listen, I know many people are taking the easy way out. They're leaving the state, headed for places like Texas. But I absolutely refuse to abandon the state that I love, the state that I call home. I see our potential, and I'm not going to give up. I refuse to stop beating back on the baseless attacks from my opponents. I refuse to give up into the radical left agenda. And I'm not going to allow an out-of-control tyrant like MLG stop our children from pursuing the American dream. On day one, I'm ready to leave this state. I would ask you to join the hundreds of delegates who committed their vote, and I ask for your vote today. God bless you.
Greg Zanetti got 23% with 157 votes.
Who in this room trusts the mainstream media? Education Department, Biden's military judgment, our election system. Why would you? I don't. Trillions are printed, schools are failing, crime pays, the borders are open. We all ask, how did we get here? I'll tell you, the progressives declared war on America, and big tech, big pharma, and big media joined the battle. There are two things you should know about war. First, war is the art of deception. Second, the first casualty of war is the truth. I studied these principles at West Point and at the War College. I lived them, beginning as a young platoon leader in Germany and ending as the commanding general at Guantanamo Bay. CRT, voter fraud, catch and release all must end. But make no mistake, these are also deceptions. The left's ultimate goal is to seize our land, our wealth, our vote, our guns, and our liberty. The other gubernatorial candidates have their strengths, but none of them have operated the highest levels in the military, business, or finance. They have not led thousands of troops or managed millions in assets, and none has the leadership experience to deal with what we all face. And I do mean we. To win, we must take the offensive and do it intelligently. MLG is weakening our economy by attacking oil and paying people not to work. We must strengthen with private sector job growth and wealth creation. MLG is promoting indoctrination over education. We must forcefully engage by empowering parents, gutting the educational bureaucracy, and funding students and not systems. MLG is enabling criminals and compromising our border. We must mobilize to protect our families and secure our border, and we must fight lies with truth. Because something big is coming, we can all feel it. Therefore, the time to fight for our nation, our state, our children, and our freedoms is now. We must unite. Unity requires trust. And trust is predicated on the principles of integrity, duty, honor, loyalty, and courage. If you believe the same, I ask for your vote. And together, we will defeat MLG, and together we will take back New Mexico.
Mark Ronchetti only got 110 votes, but he is on the ballot because he has sufficient number of signatures as required by the Secretary of State. When we return, we'll hear from Ant Thornton, who is the only candidate who got enough votes to be on the ballot for Lieutenant Governor. That's next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with me on Inside New Mexico. Let's go back to Ruidoso on February 26th and hear what Anthony Thornton had to say at the Republican Party of New Mexico pre-primary state convention. Anthony, or Ant Thornton, received a whopping 407 votes, so right now he is the only Republican candidate on the ballot for lieutenant governor.
Good afternoon. So my name is Ant Thornton, and I'm ready to become the next lieutenant governor of the great state of New Mexico. I grew up in a Leave It to Beaver fam, except in my case, Mrs. Cleaver had a little darker tan. So I was a military brat. My father, he was one of the first black men to achieve the Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force. What he proved to me was that we were not oppressed. So I had two sisters. One sister, an older one, passed away in the 90s due to a drug overdose, which is exactly why I want to close the border to stop drug trafficking. Now, I'm married to a beautiful young woman from Texas, y'all. So growing up, I decided to pursue a career in aerospace engineering, ultimately receiving my doctorate degree from Purdue University while working at Sandia National Laboratories. So I followed my dad's footsteps, and I served our country for 7 years as a naval reservist, ready to become an engineering duty officer. So listen, I'm not a politician, but I am pro-life, pro-gun, pro-law enforcement, pro-constitution, and a real-life rocket scientist. Extremely concerned about the future of this state. If you are like me, you believe that we are a nation of laws, and you see what the left is doing in our state, elevating the rights of criminals over those of law-abiding citizens. If you are like me and pro-life, when you see that New Mexico has become the abortion capital of America, you want to get on your knees and pray for our state. If you're like me and you know the importance of the right to bear arms, you know that the left is trying to disarm us. Listen, like most black families, we voted Democrat when I was growing up. But in our heart of hearts, we were deeply conservative. We always believed in American rights, freedoms, and values. 15 years ago, I had my awakening at the party I was raised in did not share my core values or principles. Now, many New Mexicans who were raised the same way are having that same awakening today. We need to reach out to them if we're going to save the state. Generation that loses New Mexico. We're going to be the generation that saves it, restores it, and passes it on to the next generation with a vibrant economy and an educated workforce. New Mexico needs innovative leadership to turn things around. I'm an aerospace engineer who tested nuclear weapons for a living. We would place them on fire, rocket them into a wall, and set off explosives right next to them, and then we would analyze the results. There were times I got to push the button to blow things up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for MLG to feel the heat.
Like many cities around the state, the city of Rio Rancho had a municipal election on March 1st. Many years ago, the citizens of Rio Rancho overwhelmingly voted that the city would require voter ID in its elections. While everything was being tallied up, some absentee ballots were rejected. We talked to Mayor Greg Hull of Rio Rancho to find out what happened.
At the end of the election, it looks like 104 ballots had something wrong with them that caused them to be disqualified. Now, that could be somebody didn't sign the inside of the envelope, somebody didn't sign the outside of the envelope, somebody didn't include their ID. Now, that's the biggest one, is that you have to include a copy of your ID, because Rio Rancho has voter ID. And we've had that for many, many, many years for municipal elections. And so that being said, if you do order a ballot, in order for that ballot to count, you have to provide ID. So doing absentee ballots is not an end around a voter ID. What they look for is all the appropriate information there to prove that it's a valid ballot. So let's say that the clerk's office received 500 requests for absentee ballots and 500 ballots came in with no IDs. Well, those are all going to have to be disqualified, because in Rio Rancho, you have to prove that you live in the city to vote in the election. And that's why we have voter ID, because you're voting on issues that pertain to the city. You're voting on tax issues, which is what we just voted on. Three tax issues, as a matter of fact. You're voting on charter issues. These are things that directly impact the citizens of Rio Rancho. So we do not want outside influences coming in and trying to advance an agenda and manipulate the system by dropping a bunch of ballots into our system from people who actually don't live within the city limits. And do we have individuals that come in and try to vote? Yeah. And we don't want people from other cities and states coming here, voting in our elections and trying to influence tax policy or city policy or even our elected officials. So in this particular case, 104 ballots at the end of the day were disqualified. What happens to those is the clerk's office sends those individuals a letter saying, hey, you didn't provide the appropriate information for your ballot to be qualified. So you've got a couple of days to come correct that. So if you'll come in and get us the right information and correct that, then your ballot will be counted.
So that do it before they canvass it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. That was Mayor Greg Hull of Rio Rancho. In the coming weeks, I hope to bring you more speeches from the candidates at the Republican Party's pre-primary state convention. And if you would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you'd like to talk to someone in person, you can call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.